Amen. I tell you what, you can take your Bibles and go to 2 Samuel chapter 7, and I'd like to give somebody an opportunity if you'd like. If nobody does, that's fine. I'm ready to preach. But if you'd like to just brag on the goodness of God tonight, I'd like to give you an opportunity to do that. I'm not going to get a lot of people. Maybe there's just somebody that as they were singing, you were thinking, God sure has been good to me. And you'd like to publicly praise him and thank him for his goodness. I want to give you that opportunity. Amen.
I praise the Lord for his goodness.
Amen.
I never, ever thank him enough. But I don't want that to stop me from trying.
Amen.
God,
amen. 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 Anybody else? God's been good, and you'd like to brag on God. Brother Jimmy? God is good. Amen. His mercy endureth forever. Thank God for his mercy. Amen. Anybody else you want to brag on God tonight? Just say, God's good. I'd like to thank God. I know you all believe God's good. That's why you're here on a Sunday night. But I just want to give you the opportunity, if you'd like to publicly praise him, I want to give you that opportunity. Miss Faulkner? Amen. God's good. Unconditional love. Amen. Brother Dan. Amen. Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above. And the Bible also says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. I think that's from God. Amen. Thank God for a good wife. Amen. Anybody else you want to brag on God tonight? You want to just say God's been good to you? All right. I know now that every time they sing that song now, I think about Ellie singing it. We sang it up on the big screen one time. We won't do that to them again because they can't sing it like she did, and so we won't, do that to them. But no, that's a blessing. Anybody else tonight? All right, 2 Samuel. I got it right that time. 2 Samuel, chapter number 7. I don't know that I'll do it all night, but I done it right this time. 2 Samuel chapter 7, we're going to pick up in our study in the life of David and pick up where we left off last week. We were in chapter 6 last week, we're in Chronicles, but tonight we're in chapter number 7. And as I looked at chapter number 7 of 2 Samuel, I began to read it and meditate and think about it and kind of see what angle I would approach this passage of scripture from, this chapter. And we may look into some other things next week, I'm not sure. This chapter 7 is loaded. If you don't know that, you will after tonight, I hope, or if you study it, you'll see it. This chapter has got a lot. I can't even give you all that's in this chapter. But I wanted to kind of focus in on what God was showing me out of chapter number 7. And as I read through chapter number 7, there was two thoughts that really kept coming to my mind and I couldn't get away from. And so I was trying to decide what angle to approach this chapter from. There's what we would call the Davidic covenant is in chapter number 7. There's a lot of teaching there. And at one time I thought, well, we might get there before Christmas, and it goes right along with some of the Christmas story. And we may look at it next week, but that's not what I want to look at this week. I thought about two things, and the first thing that really stuck out to me as I read chapter 7 was this. The first thing I thought about is After studying chapter number 7 and just reading it and rereading it and meditating upon it, I have a better understanding of why God said David is a man after mine own heart. David, God said, I found a man after mine own heart. And chapter number 7 of 2 Samuel helps me to see why God made that statement. And it's because of the second thing that I see in chapter number 7 that I want to speak on tonight. And that is how that David responds when God says no. How David responds when God says no. You know, it tells a lot about a person how they respond when they're told no. And we see David's response to God telling him no in chapter number 7. Or you might say, you know, well, God didn't tell him no, Brother David. Well, he said, not now. He actually said, not you. So how do we respond when God says no? Or God says, not now? Or God says, not you? How do we respond to that? I believe our response tells a lot about our heart and about who we are. And I believe we find out a lot about David by the way that he responded when God said no. And so that's what I want to preach on tonight. When God says no. When God says no. You know, we live in a world that hates that word. I thought about it, and I don't know that I'm exaggerating by saying this. The most offensive word, if I would have asked you tonight, what is the most offensive word in the English language, some of you probably would have thought of some four-letter words or something. But I'm not so sure that they're the most offensive words in the English language. I think the most offensive word in the English language to many might be this word. No. We don't like to be told no about anything. I was thinking about how much we hate that word no. I was thinking about some no's that we hate. I was trying to think, and I was like, what are some no's that we really hate? And I'll tell you one of the no's that I really hate at the top of my list is no service. Come on. Y'all felt something on that, didn't you? No service. Some of you may not, the cell phone may not mean much to you, but I tell my guys all the time, when I go to look at a job, now I forget to do this sometimes, and when I do, I always tell them, guys, I forgot. Man, I can't believe I forgot that. But when I go look at a job, go price a bit of job or work, I tell my guys, I say, I got to try to remember to look and see if there's cell service, because if there's not, I'm going to increase my price 20% right off the top. So if you don't have cell service, if Verizon doesn't reach at your house, don't call me to come paint for you, okay? Because the price is going up, right? Unless you got Wi-Fi, and then we might can talk, all right? We can make a deal if we can get on your Wi-Fi. But, I mean, I hate not having service. We do a lot of work sometimes up in Syria, and I tell the teenagers sometimes on Wednesday nights, I'm like, I don't understand how in the world we're living in 2026. That's hard to remember. Yeah, write that on your check, right? I mean, he's going to write the wrong date on your paper tomorrow at school or at work or whatever, right? 2026, we're living in 2026, and I don't have cell phone service in Syria. What in the world is going on? I mean, Pastor, we're going to Peru, and there's not a doubt in my mind, we're going to be in the mountains of Peru, and people's going to have cell phone service, but yet I'm 10 miles up the road in Madison County, and I don't have cell service? I mean, I'm trying to show you how we feel about no. When I see no service, I'm telling you right now, I don't respond well. I can't stand to have no service, right? It's probably good for me, but I don't like it, okay? No service, right? How about this? No power. Huh? I got some of you on that one right there. I know. I felt it, right? You could just feel it when they say, when the power goes out, right? You get that dreaded text while you're at work from Rappahannock Electric or whoever you've got. There's a power outage in your area, right? No power. That means, you know what that means? That means no fan. Come on. Around my house, that's serious right there. No fan. I mean, we don't sleep at my house without a fan. No fan is a problem, okay? If I go on vacation, I forget my fan, I'm finding a Walmart. They got Walmart Peru, Brother James? Come on, man, we got to take a fan. We got to figure that out, right? I'm going to be using that app on my phone, right? They got a fan app on your phone, just so you know, right? No power, no fan, right? No hot water. Yeah, how about that? We don't like no, right? I have five children, and there's seven of us in the house, and if you don't plan right, you can run out of hot water, right? No hot water is not a good thing, right? We don't like no. We don't like no service. We don't like no power, no hot water, no fan. How about this one? No money. You ever went to the ATM and punched in the your number and it said not available? Right? The funds are not available. There's no money, right? We don't like that. That's not good, right? No money, no power, no fan. How about this for some of you that are not married yet? No, I don't like you. That hurts, right? You got a crush. You finally build up the courage, and you let them know, I like you. And they say, well, no, I don't like you, right? Hopefully they don't say it that bluntly. But that we don't like to be told no. We don't like rejection, right? And I'm just trying to paint a picture here. I'm trying to give you an illustration. But what I'm trying to say is we don't like that word no. And how we respond to no says something. And David is told no. God tells David no in chapter number 7. I want to show it to you. Look at verse number 1. Of chapter number 7, and we'll read the first 3 verses. The Bible says, and it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. Now, I'm not going to read on right now for sake of time. We'll get into it. But what's happening here is, and this is my first point, David has some aspirations. David has some aspirations. You say, what is an aspiration? I looked it up. This is literally the definition of an aspiration. It's an ardent desire, an ambition, or a hope of achieving something noble or something spiritual. Right? So David has an aspiration. David has a desire. He's hopeful that he can achieve something that is noble, something that is spiritual. David has a great aspiration here. David wants to build a house for God. Now, we looked at last Sunday morning how that David went and he wanted the ark to come back to Israel because he wanted God's presence there in Israel. He wanted God's power there in Israel. But now David is going beyond just asking for the presence and the power of God. David wants a place for God. David says it's not just enough. At this point, the ark is back in Israel. The ark is in the city of David. David has brought the ark up. We looked at that last Sunday morning. David's brought the ark up to the city of David, to the city of Zion. He has the presence of God there. He has the power of God there. But now David has this aspiration, and David says, I want to do something beyond that. I don't just want God's presence and God's power. I want a place for God. David says, I have a desire. You know, it says a lot about a person. I told you this is a chapter that really gives us a glimpse into the heart of David. You know what it says about this man? That look at verse number 1. It says that it came to pass when the king sat in his house and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. Right? So David, a man of war. The Bible says that David is a man of war. A man of war, a man that's been on the run, a man that's lived in caves, and a man that's been in the wilderness, the man that's been pursued by Saul. We've been looking at the life of David. David, this man, is finally in a place of rest. David is finally not at battle. He's not at war. He's at rest from all of his enemies. He's sitting in his house. Right? It's like he's on vacation. And what's on David's mind is God. I mean, that just gives us a little glimpse into this man, David. If we really think about it, it's probably a convicting thought. When you get a break from all the hustle and the bustle, when you get a break from all the running to and fro, from all the work, from all the service, from all the toil and all that you're doing, whether it be in the workplace or whether it be at the church or whatever's going on in your life, when you get a break and you get an opportunity to just sit at the house and sit on the couch or kick up your feet, what is on your mind? I'll tell you what was on David's. God. David's thinking about God. You know, a lot of us will think about God when we're in the valley. A lot of us will think about God when we're in the hard places of life, when we're being pursued by Saul. It makes sense that David would have his mind focused on God when he's on the run for his life and Saul's pursuing him. But now here's David. He's not on the run. He's not at war. He's not fighting the Philistines. He's sitting at his house. He's relaxing. The Bible says he's at rest. And you know what he's thinking about? He's thinking about God. What do we think about when we have an opportunity to rest? I think it says a lot about us. But David says, I have an aspiration. I want to do something. I want a place for God. He said, I'm sitting in this house of cedar. David's looking around and David's saying, I've got this beautiful place that I'm living in. God has blessed me. I want to do something for God. And I want to move on from that point. But I'm just telling you, brethren, we're blessed. We live in a time and an era and a place of rest. We have been so blessed. And it would probably do us good every now and then to sit in our sealed houses, as I think it says in Haggai. He says, consider your ways. He said, you sit in your sealed houses. You got your nice cars. You got your nice house. You got all your nice things. Do you think about what God's got? It'd do us good every now and then to look around at what we have and the blessings that God's given us and just have a heart that David has that says, I want to do something for God. All that God has done for me, how can I hoard it up for myself? I don't want to take the blessings of God and just sit back and enjoy them. I want to take the blessings of God and invest them. I want to take what God's given me and give it back to Him. It's all His anyway. That was the heart of King David. David had an aspiration. He wanted to do something for God. I believe that David's aspiration was good. 2 Chronicles, I won't have you turn there. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse number 7. Did that just happen? Good night. I said chapter 6, but see, none of y'all adults caught it, but there were some teenagers in this room that immediately, when I said 1 Chronicles 6, verse 7, I mean, they was just, their minds went there. And I didn't, anyway. 1 Kings chapter 8, some of you still in the dark, just stay there, right? 1 Kings chapter number 8, verse number 18, I'm not even going to read 2 Chronicles, 1 Kings 8, 18, the Bible says this, and it was in the heart of David, my father, listen to this, to build a house for thy name, for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David, my father, listen to this. This is Solomon speaking in 1 Kings. He said, and the Lord said unto David, my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build an house unto my name. Listen to this. He said, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. That's what God said. You can check it. 1 Kings 8, 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Solomon said, it was in my father David's heart, and God said, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. This was a good thing that David wanted to do. It was a good aspiration that David had. And so you got to understand, it's a good thing, right? God will say no sometimes to a good thing. If you read on in 1 Kings 8, you know what it says? He says, it was good that it was in thine heart. He said, it was in my father David's heart. And God said unto him, thou doest well that is in thine heart. But I'm not going to let him do it. I'm going to let his son do it. That's what God said to David. He said, it's a good thing you want to do, David, but I'm not going to let you do it. The answer's no. And there's reasons for that. I thought about this, talking about a good idea, a good aspiration. I had a good idea last week. At least I thought. The food court. It's a good idea, wasn't it? Yeah. If you don't travel much with 30 people, then you won't understand this, okay? But if you've ever traveled with a big group, Brother Allen will understand this. He's traveled with us many times. When you're traveling with about 30 people and you're riding a bus, Brother Eric, you'll get what I'm about to say here. Eating is not the easiest thing. When you pull into a place of business, you got to hit them with a sneak attack sometimes. I mean, I'll try to pull around back. I'm like, guys, look, don't let them see us coming. All right? You got two options. Either one, you call ahead of 30 minutes and let them know you're coming. That's the best option, and that's what I plan to do most of the time, but I always forget. Right? Jennifer, she'd call ahead sometimes. They're always nicer when you warn them. When you don't warn them and you pull in, I mean, the other night we pulled into a Taco Bell, and I think it was Meredith. She said, y'all better get off this bus before they lock the door. They will lock you out. When they see you coming, they will lock you out when you got 30 people, okay? They don't want you coming. I'm getting off track. So I was trying to think, how we got, we had to get to church. We was leaving the hotel, and we had to get to the service. The service started at 7:30, and we had traveled all day to get down to North Carolina, and this was Wednesday night, New Year's Eve. But we needed to eat dinner, and so we're at the hotel, and we're getting ready to leave, and I had this good idea. I started looking for places to eat, and I seen that we were about 2 miles from a huge mall. I'm talking about a massive mall. Okay, and I said, mall, it's got to have a food court. And so I looked and I said, yeah, it's got a food court. I started looking, I said, man, it's got Chick-fil-A, it's got Chinese food, amen, that's what I'm talking about. It had Japanese food, I had a steak place, it had pizza. I was like, we got everybody covered, right? We got something for everybody here. This is a great idea. I told Pastor Brandon, it's like David told Nathan, the prophet. Nathan said, do all that's in thine heart. Brandon said, do all that's in thine heart. Good idea. I said, what do you think about that? I think it's a great idea. So I said, all right, we're going to eat at a food court. We get everybody together, we get to the mall, we pull in, parking garage, I'm in the bus, I can't find nowhere to park because the parking garage is low, and so I let them all out at the door, and I go looking for a place to park on the bus, and they go in. Well, I come in the building. Now, I want you to understand something. Service starts at 7:30. It's 6 o'clock, okay? It's 6 o'clock. I gave us plenty of time. We got an hour to eat, about 30 minutes to get to church. We're going to be doing good. We get to the place to eat, and it's closed. Now, there's people there. It closed at 6. They said no. Somebody went to order food, and they said no. We're closed. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I didn't respond all that well. I mean, I did. I tried to. But in my heart, I said, this is, I don't want to say what I think. This is dumb, right? Who closes at 6 o'clock? You know what I mean? Like 8 o'clock, okay, I get it. 8 o'clock, I mean, it's really, that's silly too. But 6 o'clock, it's not, I mean, it's dinner time. And somebody said, it's New Year's Eve. I said, that's more reason to be open. What's that got to do with anything? I think Morgan says New Year's Eve. I said, what, so? That they ought to be open until midnight. Good night. It's New Year's Eve. People are doing stuff, right? If I'm a business owner and I own a restaurant on New Year's Eve, I'm not closing early, right? People going places, they want to eat. And so it's 6 o'clock, we can't eat, all right? That has really little to do with my message other than the fact I thought I had a good idea. And so did Pastor Brandon. But they said no. So we ended up at a Burger King and a McDonald's side by side. We won't even go there, right? Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so it was a good aspiration. I say this, I believe it was a godly aspiration that David had. Now, I didn't say that about mine, even though I had the man of God approving it. So I could argue that it was godly, right? I mean, the man of God was with me. I told him. He said, let's do it. I felt God on it. It's okay. It's a God thing. I got in the mouth of two or three witnesses. A matter is established. I had two or three witnesses. We was good to go, right? But this was a godly thing. I believe David was doing this from a godly perspective. I really believe that it was a scriptural thing David was doing. Now, not everybody believes this, but I want to read a verse of scripture to you. Deuteronomy chapter number 12, verse 10 and 11 says this, but when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you, listen to this, when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, okay? So here's David. Deuteronomy says, when God gives you that land on the other side of the Jordan River, this is in Deuteronomy. He's telling the children of Israel, this is all the way back when Moses was alive. He's telling Moses and the children of Israel, when you go into that land, into Canaan's land, over across the Jordan, and you have defeated all of your enemies, and God gives you rest from all your enemies round about so that you dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Now, I can't prove this, but I believe David was a man. I can't prove that. David was a man of the scriptures. Pastor's talking about us learning the scriptures and memorizing the scriptures. Can I tell you, David quoted the scriptures often, and it wasn't from a Bible that he had in his hand or an app. David had it in his heart. David, the psalmist, is the one that said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And so David had learned the word of God. He had memorized the word of God. And I believe David knew that the word of God said in Deuteronomy that when you're dwelling in safety, when you've gotten defeated all of your enemies round about you, God said, I'm going to put a place for myself. And David said, well, this is a God thing. It's not just a good thing. It's a godly thing. I have an aspiration. It's not just a good aspiration. It's a godly aspiration. David said, I want to do this for God. You with me? David had an aspiration. He said, I want to do this for God. And Nathan the prophet, verse number two, it says, the king said unto Nathan the prophet, and he told him what he wanted to do. And Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. Nathan thought, that's great. Nathan knew what Deuteronomy taught. Nathan knew that God deserved a place. Nathan said, that's great, king. Do what's in your heart. So he had that aspiration. But number two, I want us to see this, his answer. His answer. Now, I'm not going to read it to you right now. You read it for yourself. But I'm going to paraphrase what his answer was. God said no. God said, David, no. Not now. God said, David, that's a great thing that you want to do, but I haven't asked you to do that. I've been dwelling in a tent all these years as the children of Israel have been wandering around, and that's a good thing that you want to do. You could even say it's a godly thing, but God said, David, you're not going to do it. He said the answer is no. He said, David, it's someone else. Now, I told you, this says a lot about a man. You know, you've been looking for that raise at work or that promotion, I should say, that job or that position, and then all of a sudden you think you've got the position, and then all of a sudden you find out somebody else got it. Right? That's what David just found out. It's somebody else. It's not going to be you, David. Yes, I'm going to build a house for my name. I'm going to build a place for my presence and my power to dwell. I want a place for the ark, but David, you're not the man. You're not going to do it. It's someone else. But he did tell David, it's not just someone else. He said, I have something else. God gave David something else. He said, you're not going to build me a house, David. I'm going to build you one. Isn't that just like God? Is that not just like our God? David says, God, I want to do something great for you. I want to build you a house. And you know what God says? I'll tell you what, David, I'm going to up the ante. I'm going to build you a house. You want to build me a house, David? That's a good thing. I'm glad that you want to build me a house, but guess what? I'm going to build you a house. I'm going to give you a dynasty. I'm going to give you a legacy. I'm going to make you a king that's going to sit on the throne forever. The throne of Israel is going to be known as the throne of David. That's just like God. Isn't that like our God? We have a great desire and a great aspirations to do something for God, and God says, hey, you want to do something for me? I tell you what, I'll do something for you. Give and it shall be given unto you. God says, you want to know how to get blessed by me? You bless me and I'll bless you. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so God gives David an answer, but his answer is no. Now he does give him, he says it's someone else. He says, but it is something else. And this is where we really learn some things about David. We see his aspiration. We see his answer. It's no, not now, not you. But we see his attitude. This is where we really get a glimpse of who David is. Look at verse number 18, if you would. 2 Samuel chapter 7. I'm skipping through the promise that God gives to David. You read it sometime. I gave you a brief overview of what it is. But look at verse 17 says, according to all these words, according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. I got to say this and then I'm going to move on. It's just amazing to me that David says, man, this is what I want to do. Nathan says, do it. That's a great idea. I love it, David. And that very night, the Bible says that God came to Nathan and said, nah, Nathan, ain't going to work like that. Now, you know how Nathan had to feel. He's the prophet. He's the man of God. He's told David, the king, right, go do all that's in thine heart. And now he's got to go back the next day and say, you know what, David? Never mind. I lied, right? Bad idea. It's not going to work out that way, right? But, king, I got good news for you. You want the good news or the bad news first, right? I wonder if Nathan came in and told David that. Look, king, I got some good news and I got some bad news. Which one you want first, right? I'll take the good news. The good news is God's going to build you a house. All right, what's the bad news? You ain't building his. Right? And so Nathan comes in and he gives David the answer. And look at David's attitude in verse number 18. Look at David's attitude in verse number 18. It says, then went King David in and sat before the Lord. And he said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? Look at verse 20. And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake and according to thine own heart hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. You see the attitude of David? God tells David no. God tells the king of Israel no. And you know what? I knew when I was going to preach this, I thought to myself, I know there's going to be people sitting there thinking, what's the big deal? God told him, you know, he was going to get to this, he was going to get to that. How do we respond when God tells us no? We've got all the promises David had. God's promised to bless us. God's promised that he's gonna take care of us. God's promised that his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are better than our thoughts. God said that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. We've got the same promises of God that David had, but how do we respond when God tells us no? See, it's easy to look and say, well, David, you know, that was easy. No, it wasn't. Do we get in our feelings when God tells us no? Do we get angry when God says no to, so we say, well, it was good, God. I wanted to do something good for you, God. I wanted to do something godly. God, I had great plans. I had great aspirations, God. I wanted that job so that I could make more money and I could be a blessing to the church and to the work of God. God, I wanted that spot in ministry so that I could serve more faithfully. God, I wanted this to happen so that I could do this. And we have our aspirations and we have our plans and we have our dreams of how our Christian life's supposed to play out. And when God says no, how do we respond? I'll tell you how David responded with humility. He went in, and the Bible says, the king of Israel. You know, it uses that phrase numerous times in this section. It says in verse number 18, look at it. Then went, look at this, King David. It wants us to know who this is. This is King David. Then went in King David and sat before the Lord. David went in, I believe, into that tabernacle, that tent where the ark of God was. David went in and he sat before the Lord in humility, humbly. David said, God, who am I? And what is my house that you would just be so good to me, God? And you see, he was humble. When God told him no, he received it. His attitude was humility. His attitude was hushed. He sat before the Lord. Look at verse number 20. He said, what more? He said, what can David say more unto thee? David started talking in third person. He said, what can David say more unto thee? Who am I to even say anything, God? You're God. You've done all this. You blessed me. You brought me to this place. You've put me in this house. God, if you say no, how can I argue with you? That's what David's saying. He's saying, God, how am I the king? I might be the king of Israel, but God, I'm not going to argue with you. Can I tell you, that's way different than Saul was. Saul was always arguing with God. David said, who am I to argue with God? And so we see his attitude. It was humble. It was hushed. We see his acceptance. He said, who am I? And what can I say? I trust your ways. I don't see anywhere in here where David's arguing with God. I don't sense anywhere in here that when David was told no, he'd done like some of the kids in the building do this tonight, or even I say the kids, how about some of those big kids, you know, get an attitude, shrug our shoulder, roll our eyes, walk away, you know, talking under our breath. Some people don't, some houses you don't get away with that. But that's how we act sometimes when we're told no. See, no, I'm the king of Israel. See, no, I, this is a good thing I want to do. I'm trying to build him a house, and he's telling me no. I don't see any of that. David went in humbly and hushed, and he sat before the Lord. And you know what he said? He said, I accept it, God. Not my will, but thy will be done. God, whatever you want, I know is best. I trust you, God. That's really what this is all about. It's all about the fact that David trusts God. Do you see why David is a man after God's own heart? His attitude, his acceptance. How about this, his appreciation? Verse number 22 through verse number 29, I'm not going to read it to you right now, but David says, look at verse 22, wherefore thou art great, O Lord God. There is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee. I said I wasn't going to read it, but let's read it. He said, according to all that we have heard with our ears, what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself and to make him a name and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. And for thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, you see what David's saying? David's saying, it ain't about me, God. Do you see that? He keeps saying, thy people, thou, thee, thy. He's saying, God, this ain't about me. It's about you. And if we get that attitude, if we can get that acceptance in our life, and then we can get where we appreciate whatever, when God says no, we say, thank you, God. Because it's not about me. It's not about my will. It's not about what I want, God. It's about you, God. Are you with me tonight? When God says no, just remember, this isn't about us. It's about him. David didn't lose sight of who this was all about. The second David would have thought it's about me, he would have got mad. Why can't I do it? That's what that's all about. That's why we don't like no, because it's about us. But David understood, this ain't about me. It's about you, God, and you're great, God. You're a wonderful God, and God, you've done all these great things, and who am I that I should argue with you, God? He says in verse number 25, he says, and now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said, and let thy name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee a house. And David just goes on and on talking about God. He says in verse number 28, and now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. David says, God, you're just a great God. And so we see David, his appreciation, he prays and he praises God. I mean, what a way to respond to no. God said no. Are you with me, brother? I'm almost done. God said no, and David said thank you. David prayed, and he praised God. I wrote here, he doesn't complain about what he didn't get. He's overwhelmed by what he has. Let me repeat that one more time, and we'll close this message so that we all remember that. When God says no to our dreams, to our desires, to our ambitions, to our aspirations, to what we want in life, just remember, don't focus on what, don't complain about what we don't have. How about we look at what we do have? That's what David did. David said, I'm not going to complain about what I don't have. David said, I'm too overwhelmed with what I do have. Who am I to complain that I can't build a house for God after all God has done for me? David said, who am I? How in the world am I going to get mad at God as good as God has been to me? He's appreciative. He says he praises God. He prays to God. And then last, he acts. So we see his acceptance. We see his appreciation. And then we see his actions. Turn to 1 Chronicles 22, and this is where we'll close. 1 Chronicles 22. I mean, this is impressive. It truly is. I hope somehow, some way, God just gets what I'm trying to say through to somebody tonight. If nobody needs this message, I do. Because there's going to be times in our life God's going to say no. There's going to be times that we're going to have good aspirations. Nothing wrong with it. But God's going to say no. There's going to be times we may even have godly aspirations. Things that God's put in our heart that we want to, that we believe God's put in our heart that we want to do for God. And you know what? God's going to say no. Or God's going to say not now. Or God's going to say not you. God may say no, it's going to be your children. And it's hard sometimes to understand that. I had this conversation with my mom yesterday a little bit. I knew I was preaching on this, and my mom was talking about, my mom, and I don't say too much about this. My mom wouldn't care if she was listening. If she was sitting here, I'd say, my mom's had a pretty rough go. She really has. I've got a handicapped brother. She's raised him for 47 years. My mom's had a rough go. And she said yesterday, she said, well, I don't know what I did that any different than anybody else my age at that time that this happened to me. And I tried to tell my mom, I said, Mom, you know, and my mom's thankful. Don't misunderstand what I just said. My mom's very thankful for my brother. She's thankful for a lot of things. Her life's just been hard. And I mentioned what Pastor Brandon preached about last Sunday night about our light affliction. And I said, Mom, you know what? I don't understand everything about life, but I gotta help you to understand something. Sometimes God does things through us that He doesn't do to us. And I said, I can't explain it, Mom. I said, but God has blessed my life abundantly. My children's lives are blessed abundantly. The cycle of sin in our family has been broken. Addiction and drugs and alcohol and multiple marriages and all that lifestyle, that cycle has been broken. And God has given you something far greater than a life of ease. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You have a legacy. You have a family that's blessed beyond measure, I said in eternity, one day I pray to God that God will open your eyes and help you to see that this life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. And what God does in our lives sometimes go far beyond our lives. You understand what I'm saying? The blessings of God, and some of you are blessed today. Many of you, all of us, I would say, are blessed today because of 3-4 generations before us. We didn't get here on our own, brethren. And God is blessed. God said to David, David, I'm going to do something for you far greater than now. I got something for you that's going to last far longer. And so I wanted to say that, but I don't even know why I said that, other than the fact that sometimes when God says no, we just don't know how to respond. David responded right. David had the right attitude. David accepted what God said. David appreciated all that God had done. And you know what David did? David did what very few people will do. David acted. David acted. David began to plan, and David began to prepare. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 22. It says in verse number 1, then David said, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he sent masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. Look at this verse 3. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails for the doors of the gates and for the joinings and the brass in abundance without weight. And David, you'll find over and over, if you read down through this chapter, look at verse number 5 at the end of it. He said, I will therefore now make preparation for it. Look at it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. You know what David said when God said no? He said, okay, God, I'm going to still get busy doing whatever I can do. Even if I don't get to build the temple, even if Solomon's going to build the temple, God, I just want to have a part in it. And David began to prepare, and David began to plan. Look at 1 Chronicles, that's chapter 22. Look at chapter number 28. Chapter 28, look at verse number 11.
The Bible says, then David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat and the pattern of all that he had by the spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord and all the chambers round about and of the treasuries of the house of God and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. Also the courses of the priests and the Levites for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord and all the vessels of the service in the house of the Lord. David, you see what I'm saying? David began to prepare and David began to plan. Look at verse 19. And all this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. David, look at chapter 29. This will be the last verse we look at. Look at chapter 29. Look at verse number 2. David said this. It says in verse number 2, it says, now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, and gold for the things to be made of gold, and silver for the things of silver, and brass for the things of brass, and the iron for the things of iron, the wood for the things of wood, onyx stones, and stones to be set, glycerin stones, and diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. And I could go on and on and on and on. You know what David decided to do when God said no? He accepted God's no. He appreciated God's no. And he went to getting busy anyway. He said, God, if I can't build you a house, can I just have a part in it? God, I'll plan it. God, I'll prepare. I'll get everything together. It said he prepared with all of his might. David didn't build the temple. But no one did more to make sure it was built. David responded well when God said no. Because he knew it wasn't about him, it was about God. Can I ask you tonight, how will you respond when God says no? No wonder David, God said, I found a man after my own heart. You can really tell a lot about a person how they respond when God says no. You can stand to your feet. I know there's some folks here tonight, and I'm not going to try to start applying this. I want the Holy Spirit to do that. But I know there's some folks here tonight, and you've got some dreams. You've got some aspirations. And they're good. And they may even be godly. But God said no. Or maybe God didn't say no. God said not now. How do we respond? Are we going to have the attitude David had? Are we going to say, you know what, God, who am I? God, you've been so good to me. You can bow your heads and close your eyes if you like. And if God's speaking to you, you're more than welcome to come to the altar. I just wonder, how are we going to respond when God says no? When God says not now? If God says not you, it's going to be your children. It's going to be them that come after you. You're going to have the right attitude? You're going to still do whatever you can do anyway? I thought about Moses. Moses knew he wasn't going in the promised land. But he still tried his best to lead the children of Israel there. I don't know. I thought about this building we're wanting to build across the road. I don't know when God's going to allow us to build this building. And you know what? There could be people in this room that never get to step foot on that property. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't do our part. David said, I'm going to prepare. I'm going to plan. I'm going to do whatever I can do. Because it ain't about me anyway. It's about you, God. And if you say no, God, I accept it. Because I know your ways are greater than my ways. I believe David had learned that truth.